Hey, wanna last longer in bed without having to worry about lasting longer in bed? Well, if you don't, you should, because every girl loves it when her guy comes at the same time as her. At least I know I do. That's like the best thing ever. And that's why you need to get yourself some Promescent Delay Spray. Their delay spray is clinically proven to make you last longer, and it's not going to totally numb you out, and it's not going to transfer to your partner. And for your partner, they have a whole line of women's products. I use them. I love Promescent products. I use their warming gel. That's my favorite product. They also sell lube and condoms. They have a sex toy section. I totally recommend Promescent products, and so do 2,000 medical professionals. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some Promescent. Go to promescent.com/strictlyanon. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. Go there now to get all your Promescent products. They have a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's free shipping, and your package is going to arrive discreetly, so no one's going to know what the F you bought. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description and click on the link.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous podcast yet on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I don't know why I always sing that. If you haven't followed me on the podcast app that you're listening to me on, make sure to follow me. And if you can, give me a review or give me 5 stars on the app that you're on. Do it. That kind of shit really helps the show. What's really exciting now that I love is that Spotify has polls that I get to create for every episode, and they have questions that I could put out there and people get to comment on the episodes. I love interacting with my listeners about what I'm talking about on the episode. So make sure to comment. I'm trying to figure out a way that I could comment back to everybody. They don't sort of make it like a back and forth kind of a thing, but I'm trying to figure that out. But I get so excited when I get a comment. I also can't post dirty ones that are flagged by Spotify. So if you leave a comment, make sure to keep it clean and keep it nice. Anyway, if you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because I change everybody's voices. I change everybody's names. If you have a naughty, interesting story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, I'd love to also have you on my show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on be on the show. If you have a naughty confession that you want to be aired on an episode, I now do naughty confession episodes. I do one a week. You could call my confessions hotline. You could call that number 24/7, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. I think you get like 4 minutes, leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. I change the voices on them. I edit them together. The one thing I need to tell you is please do not be driving when you call. If you're driving, pull over, park, and leave your message. And if you can, make sure to hold the phone up to your ear. That is the best way to ensure that you're going to have good sound on your confession and I'll be able to use it. So many confessions come in and I could barely understand what the person's saying. So you could call that number anytime you want. All of those anonymous confessions, even if they're not aired on an episode or aired on my Patreon. And my Patreon is a really fun community. I have over 2,000 people on there. If you join for only $5 a month, you get all of my episodes early and ad free. I do questions and answers and polls and stuff over there as well. I post all the anonymous confessions there. And I also post all the anonymous sexy pics of all of my guests, including today's guest, okay, all over there. And you also get access to my private Discord where people are allowed to post whatever they want. I don't get involved in the X-rated stuff, but people want to post stuff like that and they get to over on my Discord. So to get access for my Discord and get all the other stuff that I talked about, you got to join my Patreon. It's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. It's literally just $5 a month and I feel like you get a lot for that. And you are also supporting the show, which is great. So all of the links and the emails and the numbers and the websites and all that shit I just talked about are in the description, so you don't have to worry about writing it down. Today I have on Jason and Casey. Jason and Casey have both been on the show separately. I think maybe they've done an episode where they came on together. I'm not really sure, but they are two of my favorite guests. They were both in the lifestyle before they met each other. They both had major backstories, and then they have a very interesting story together. So you need to go listen to their episodes if you've never listened to them, because Casey's fucking hardcore. And Jason was a very interesting solo guy who navigated the swinger world solo, like I said, very successfully. And then they met up, and now they are definitely like a hot wife stag couple. Both of them love nothing more than to fuck other guys in front of each other. There's compersion going on both sides. Casey recently learned how to deep throat. She talks about that too. But we discuss hot wifing. I first talked to Jason. I get the guy's perspective on it, like what it is about hot wifing that turns him on, why he enjoys sharing the woman he loves, and why he still loves her even though he shares her. And he explains that, because a lot of times people are like, oh, you can never love your wife if you let her fuck other guys. But he does. He loves Casey more than anyone. They're a great, healthy couple, but yet he loves to see her with other guys. He talks a lot about how some guys are uncomfortable when they first meet up, and he talks about what he likes and what he doesn't like in regards to that guy who shows up. So if you're a guy that wants to fuck couples, listen to what he says. If you're a guy that's interested in hot wifing, listen to what he says. He's a professional. He's got a lot of interesting insight into the whole hot wifing world from the guy's perspective. Then we talk to Casey. 30 minutes in, Casey gets on. We talk about hot wifing from her standpoint. We do start off talking about the fact that she could deep throat, because that came up with Jason. That was something she could never do. We talk about that like right off the top, or right off the bat. But then we do discuss hot wifing. This is something that they tried very early on in their relationship, and it didn't really work. And she talks about how and why they didn't give up on it, even though it didn't work. She talks about what was wrong, how they figured out what was wrong, and they changed things up, and now they've been doing it all the time professionally, okay? She really likes it when he is there. She explains how much it turns her on to see her husband being pleasured by guys being into her. That's a big part of it for her. She loves being reclaimed. And we do talk about how she likes it being called reclaiming. She doesn't want it to be called reconnecting. She likes that whole thing of her guy giving her to another guy and then her coming back. That's a part of the kink for her. That's what makes it hot. She's really good at explaining things. She does also talk about why he doesn't go out and fuck other girls, and she talks about why. It's a super interesting episode if you're interested in hot wifing at all. It's a very informative. If you haven't heard their episodes, you want to fucking listen to them, because they have such interesting backstory, solo backstory. They both led very interesting lives before they met up with each other, and now they're very hardcore. They'll be over on my Discord. They have an OnlyFans and a podcast, In Bed with Strangers. They have a great podcast now where they talk about a lot of stuff, as well as their OnlyFans. I will put links to all that stuff in the description, but I'm going to be right back on, first with Jason and then Casey.
This is the Strictly Anonymous podcast.
Bang. Hi, Jason. Welcome back to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm great, Kathy. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm going to do a hot wifing episode. And in this episode, we're not just going to be talking to you, Jason. We're also going to be talking to your hot wife, Casey.
My hot wife.
Yeah, your hot. That's the right way to say it. Your hot wife. There's a difference between the two, right? But she's both. She's your girl. You guys have both been on my show many times, Casey. I don't know if you guys know this, but I aired Casey's confession episode, like her first confession she left on my confessions hotline, the one that I called her up and said, hey, come on the show. I aired it on a confessions episode recently. I didn't know that Casey rode around and fucked guys in a van, like, and picked up guys. I'm gonna have to talk to her about that when we get around. But what we're gonna do on this episode is talk about hot wifing from the guy's point of view, and then hot wifing from the hot wife's point of view. I think hot wifing happens to be one of the most highly downloaded episodes I have, right? There, it turns out so many guys love watching their girl get fucked by another guy. So let's start off like asking you, Jason, like, when did you realize that you were into that?
I was interested in it probably way before I met Casey. Mm-hmm. I just never met the right person to do it with. It was always intriguing to be in some sort of relationship like that where I can share my girlfriend or wife. It just so happened Casey was the perfect match.
Now, I hear from all different types of guys. Some people are slightly, like, kind of cucks. Some people are total stags. Some people are extreme cucks. Those guys I always worry about, you know. There's a lot of different versions of the guys in the scenario. What do you consider yourself if you had to put a label? Are you a stag? Are you a cuck?
I'm a stag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't identify as a cuck at all. Casey wouldn't want me as a cuck. She's not turned on by that. We have met guys that like to be cucked.
Mm-hmm.
We have met like third parties that like that humiliation sort of thing from us. I never felt that I was on the receiving receiving humiliation or degradation or anything like that. I love giving it.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy receiving it. And in order to, regardless of how you identify, there has to be a lot of trust and respect, whether you're a cuckold or a stag. There has to be trust and respect between you and your partner in order to, you know, pursue this. And it definitely does not happen overnight.
Yeah. And right. Like, even if there is no humiliation, you still got to have that in place, because you are allowing your girl to, like, fuck another guy. I mean, you're always there, right? Do you guys do solo play? Because some people do, some people don't. You know, remind people how your guys' relationship is set up.
Sure. So Casey in general has single girl freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she can do anything she wants, but she always chooses to have me there. She just enjoys me watching, looking over and seeing how hard I get or when I participate or directing her and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So she never has not wanted to do this without me since we've been together, even though she's more than welcome to. Regardless of the couple, there's rules and guidelines that we form, and she really doesn't have any rules. She just chooses to have me always there.
Right. But what about for you? I mean, would you get into her going and fucking another guy and you kind of waiting at home and having that kind of time to wonder and think about it? Because a lot of guys are into that kind of a setup.
We've discussed it, because there's nights that I'm like, I really want you to go out and just kind of enjoy, like, fully enjoy this hot wife life that we have to the maximum you can, right?
Yeah.
So you're free to flirt. You're free to go out. You're free to do all these things. And recently, once she went and met a guy at a local bar restaurant without me, but then brought him home to play. And it was actually a lot of fun. So she actually kind of liked it, but she hasn't really brought up to me that she wants to do more of that.
Walk me through that experience. So did she say, hey, I'm going to go out to a bar, I'm going to see if I could pick up a guy, and if I do, I'll text you that we're on our way? I mean, or was it a surprise? She walks in with a dude. What went down that scenario?
No, it was prearranged. It was a gentleman we met on the site that we're on. And I said, you know what? Why don't you just go meet him by yourself, because I always, like, I'm okay with everything. If nothing offends Casey, it doesn't offend me, right? So I'm okay if they touch her leg or they flirt with her or they whatever, right? But it seems that when I'm present, I get this feeling that they're a little standoffish. They're maybe standoffish is the word, where they're nervous too. I flat out say, like, you talk to me, but like pretend I'm not here, like flirt with her, like get comfortable, because that's gonna lead to better sex. So I said, why don't you go out? Let me know when you get there. This guy was good looking, he seemed nice. And just do your thing without me and see if it goes a little differently. And they wound up paying it off. And then they came back here. So I never met the guy until he walked in our front door. That was kind of exciting, actually. And we wound up having a really great threesome here. But I'm sure if I asked her to do it again, she would do it again.
I do feel like I could see why some guys, especially if they're newbies, why they would feel a little hesitant about being full on with your girl, because it goes against the whole hot wifing thing and what you guys have set up. And it goes against everything that you're taught to believe, right? Like, here you are right in front of the guy with his girl, his fucking girl. And you're just going to be all over her, even though he gives you a free pass. I could understand a guy kind of being like, oh, you know, not, no. I mean, is there typically a lot of talking that goes on ahead of time and negotiating with these guys that you meet so that they know it's okay or they know what they could do?
Sometimes, yes. So sometimes I'll take the reins and I'll have a bit of a conversation with them prior, and sometimes just surprise Casey. Oh, we're going out to meet this guy tonight. And she's like, okay. And she has no idea who he is, which is kind of hot. Other times she'll be like, oh, I found this guy. I go, okay, I'll talk to him and see, kind of explain to him like things that are okay and stuff like that. And it really is, it's just amazing feeling once you get it right, because to us, it's second nature. Like you mentioned, oh, you're going against everything, the norm and society and all that. But to us, it's second nature. Like, I want them, if they're not flirting enough or not touching her, like in the restaurant, like it's, oh, I want to see that. Like, it's,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you want that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I even if I explain to them, hey, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that, like, they still get a little nervous. I don't know if it's because they're in a public setting, because generally we make it to the hotel room, it's a different story.
Right.
But, or we found that if I step away to use the restroom and then come back later on, she'll go, oh, when you went to the bathroom, he started telling me how much he wants to fuck me and how hot I look. And I'm like, why can't you say that in front of me?
Exactly.
It's like, without fail, they wait till I leave. And it's hot for me to see it.
Yeah.
And it's hot, Casey, it's hot that, for Casey, knowing that I love seeing it. So you can't make anybody do anything, but we do if they're a little more flirty, especially if she's attracted to the guy.
Yeah.
She'll inch closer. She'll put his hand or her hand on his leg. She'll even say, hey, can I kiss you? And if they kiss, it's so hot for us. Another guy kissing my wife in a restaurant. It's just, it's kind of sexy to be like, oh, I wonder what these people are thinking around us.
Yeah, so, no, that's a little bit of an exhibitionist in you for sure. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Hey guys, want to always be super hard and ready to go? I mean, not one guy said no, right? And that's why you need to check out Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in a chewable tablet at a tiny fraction of the cost. And the good news is the process to get it is super simple. All you got to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult one of their licensed medical professionals, and once you're approved, you're going to get your script. No having to go to the doctor's office, no looking some weird dude in the face, no awkward combos, and no waiting in line. Your prescription is going to be delivered right to your door in a discreet package. Never tried it? Wondering if it really works? Don't think you need it? Don't worry. You're going to get to try it for free for a whole month because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. I've got a special deal for my listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use my code STRICTLYANON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code STRICTLYANON to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And I thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, listen, the takeaway from what you're saying right now for the guy that's listening that wants to fuck a couple is, listen, if you're in a, if a couple hires you or picks you to come and the guy's like, hey, I want to see you fuck my wife, know that that guy is down for you being all over his wife.
Correct. And I also like to think that I try to help him. I want them to succeed. I probably mentioned this in a previous episode, but since I was a single guy prior, I know what it's like to be in their seat.
Right.
Versus a couple that may have gotten married and lived a monogamous life for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and then decided to go into this. That guy was never in that seat before. So I totally understand what it's like to sit there. And I never forgot what it was like. Even before the date, I try to calm him, like, hey, I was a single guy before, and like, you know, just give him this advice and kind words. I'm never mean or anything. And they're like, oh, you're really easy to talk to. And then when we meet them, it's funny how some guys, they can tell if a couple's happy together. And we always get the, wow, you guys are actually like happy together. Nobody seems forced or anything. Because they've met couples where it was probably uncomfortable or awkward situations where one of them probably didn't want to be there and the other one wanted, whether it's the wife or the husband wanted to, or the other one didn't want to. And they've been in all these differences. I've been in those situations too when I was single.
That's awful.
So when they meet us, they kind of get calm quicker. They're like, holy crap, you guys didn't catfish me. You guys are very happy together. And we're like, yeah, this is our life. Casey's been doing this about 20 years. You know, steadily, and we fine-tuned it, and we keep fine-tuning it, but it's us, and they kind of happy to see that, and they could definitely tell if a couple is happy.
And let me ask you this, because I would always get comments from people like, oh, that guy could never love his wife because he allows her to fuck somebody else. What do you say to that person that says that, you know, to you?
I don't think they fully understand what the lifestyle is about, because... Right. I have this insane commitment to Casey and nothing could come between us. There's, you know, and my confidence is so high with her that, you know, I want larger endowed men to fuck her. I want her to, you know, I want to hear screams that she may not necessarily get from me sometimes, like a new orgasm. So like I love her unconditionally, like forever. So it has, I don't know if they're misinformed or they don't understand what it's about, but that's not true.
I think it's a projection, honestly. I think we're always, everyone's projecting onto everybody else at all times, because how could you really understand somebody that thinks completely different than you do? Because you're you, right? That person that's saying that, I think, is the type of person that could never imagine seeing his girl with somebody else, or maybe he's dying for it, but he feels like he'd be too jealous and he wouldn't be able to handle it. And then he just projects that onto you and has to make assumptions, because typically from the guys who are doing this and who are into it, whether it's the stag or the cock, it's never about not loving his wife. Most of the time, it's what they call compersion. That's a big part of it. Like, it's seeing their girl being pleasured. It's seeing, I've heard people say it's seeing my girl as like my porn star. It's like I'm watching porn, but that the girl in it is my girl. Like, what is it about it that you're getting off on? Is it the compersion? Is it that she's your porn star? What is it that you, how would you explain it?
Oh, 100%. She is my porn star. She does whatever I like, and she does it well. And to watch her right there in front of me, whether I'm participating in you know, in the sex, or I'm just watching and masturbating, or just watching or filming, it's indescribable unless you actually go through it to have her right in front of you, viewing her from a different angle than when I would be fucking her, and just taking directives and doing all these things. And sometimes we meet guys that, unfortunately, they don't get sex or blowjobs or something from their own wife. And here, Casey is beyond willing to do these things, and they go crazy, and it drives me wild. And almost without fail, she gets compliments on her skills, because she gets really into the blowjobs because I love them so much, and the sloppiness and whatever. And they're like, holy shit, like, I haven't had a blowjob like that in so long, or my wife doesn't do this, if they're married. We don't always meet married men. And even recently, I'm so proud to say this, but she has actually trained herself to deep throat. And that was, you might laugh, it is fucking awesome.
Oh no, I laugh because deep throating, squirting, like all these things are like fun party tricks that I wish I had in my back pocket. I am always super impressed with any girl that could do any of those things. I love it. I think I wish I could, because I can't. That's a deep throating is another one that I'm like, I'm always like, wow, you could fucking deep throat. I think that's a cool thing to be able to do, for sure.
It is bonkers.
I know,
She's a squirter too, but yeah. So the only thing that I always felt was like missing is because I was like, oh man, I wish like she could deep throw. And I planted the seed a while ago.
Yeah.
And she would practice and practice, and then all types of gagging. We went through all types of training and stuff. And then one day it slipped past her esophagus, and I was like, holy shit. And then, and it wasn't me. It was a guy that we were playing with. And I go, holy shit, she just made it disappear. And I was like, can you do that again? And she's like, yeah. And she did it again and again and again. And it was so fucking hot that I was like, oh my God, you're a deep throat wife now. She goes, oh, hold on, don't get ahead. We still got to practice on some other guys. But, you know, this was not too long ago. And each date we've been on, she's taken the guy fully down her throat. And to watch that live versus on a porn, as her husband, makes me so fucking proud and so turned on. I've actually been more turned on recently because of this newfound talent she developed, and she actually taught herself. So you have to get past, as she was telling me this, you have to get past thinking that you're going to choke or not breathe.
Once it went past and she was able to do it once, it sounds like squirting to me. And she was able to do it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were just on a date last night, honestly. And the guy, he's longer than me. I don't think he's as thick, but he's longer than me, and fucking took it right down to the balls. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
And she's not going to, now she's going to want to go bigger and bigger. And she's going, and she goes, it doesn't bother my throat and it doesn't bother my mouth. So it's kind of, and she's got these big smiles on her face. So it's, you know, you add that dynamic in now, that aspect, and now I get to watch that live. That's my favorite thing to watch in porn, and now I get to see it live.
Yeah.
I can't describe how hot that is. I think I fell in love with her even more.
Yeah, and explain that whole thing about wanting to see her with guys who have bigger cocks than you, and that not only does it bother you, but that's a turn on. A lot of guys that are into this, that's a big part of it. And what they typically say to me, it's because, listen, they're into seeing their girl being pleasured. And so bigger cock, more pleasure. It's kind of like the top of the mountain. Is that the reason why you think it is that you like guys that are bigger than you? Because that's another thing that's like so opposite what you would think you would feel in a scenario, right? Like you would never want a guy to have a bigger dick than you. But yet you like that and want it. It's hotter to you if he's bigger.
Like it. I love it. It is extremely visual.
Okay.
So regardless of the position, right? She loves to ride. So she gets on top of them and rides. You have that longer, she can go up and down further.
Yeah.
Which gives the visual is just fantastic, right? And then regardless of the position, it's so much harder. They can do sometimes positions it's harder for us to do because I might fall out, but this guy stays in because he's larger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and not every, just because you're big doesn't mean it's going to feel better. Like, you have to know what you're doing with it. It's not just, oh, I have a big cock, here you go. And it's fantastic. Like I said, I've heard some sounds recently from her, like orgasms and things that I'm just like, oh my God, do that again.
Yeah.
Not a stitch of jealousy, because I'm giving her this, I know she needs this and I love it. And because I'm giving it to her, I mean, she just takes such good care of me as a whole, whether it's in bed or out of bed. So like, it's just amazing. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but it's amazing. So there's no, once you get to that point of trust and communication, there should be no fear of your wife or girlfriend having amazing orgasms with somebody else, because right. You want that. You don't want to share her and her have shitty sex.
So it doesn't, they're like, whether he's bigger or smaller, none of that shit, like all that shit goes out the window, because it's like, you, once you open yourself up to that and you realize you're into it, it's like, that's not a thing anymore.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Now, right. When you were younger, like way before you got into this, were you a very jealous guy? Were you not a jealous guy at all? Like,
I used to have jealousies because I didn't really know any better. Like I didn't,
yeah.
I was like not the natural non-jealous type. And I wasn't into, when I was, I guess in my, I probably started thinking about sharing in my 20s. Although I never really got to share anybody I dated, but when younger than that, that didn't cross my mind.
Right.
And I just evolved over the years. And then when I discovered the lifestyle in my early 30s and saw what was out there, and then wanted to be with a girl that I could do this with. And I did try it prior to Casey and it failed. The girl was not cut out for it. And I never gave up. I didn't say I want to be monogamous. I didn't say, and I just evolved. Like, I have zero jealousy with Casey. Zero. I mean, she could be surrounded by the most well-hung, fit men. She could flirt. She could do whatever she wants, and it doesn't even. But she comes home with me.
Yeah,
she's my wife. She snuggles with me. She does things with me that no other guy gets. Sex is sex. The love and the. The romance and all that, that's just for me. So I have no reason to be jealous. It's amazing.
Now, if you were like, say there's a couple that are listening, or a guy that's listening that's thinking maybe this is something he'd want to try with his partner, what do you suggest those initial conversations or certain rules or regulations they should have going in? What would be maybe your top three things for this person to consider or think about before they do it?
Well, I say first is you want to see if how you feel if your girl is even talking to another person with their clothes on.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So see how you feel, like if you're out or in general, if you're out with a group of people, even if it's someone you guys know and she's kind of flirty with them or talking or whatever, if you have any doubts, then you're probably not cut out for this. If it turns you on, or maybe you think about it, because you can think about it and fantasize and masturbate to it all you want, but you put it in front of you, how are you going to feel, right? So if you say, oh wow, I think it was hot that you were talking to that guy at the bar, maybe you find a local swing club or something and go and just observe and see what the atmosphere is like before you find yourself in a hotel room or a house with just the two of you and another person. Go out into more of a, I guess, semi-public or private club sort of thing, and just see. You don't have to participate. You can just watch, or you could try any level. If you saw a guy there, say, explain to him that you're new and I just want to see this and that and the other thing, and just kind of gauge, and then go home and then discuss it the next day and kind of just have a debriefing or whatever, and see if you guys liked it.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. Then you can maybe try a private date sort of thing. And even on a private date, maybe you're not sure if you want to see your wife actually have sex with somebody else, and you kind of take it to a certain level and stop. Okay, I want to see you. Maybe some people are into kissing. We love kissing. Casey can kiss anyone she wants, but some people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of go at a comfortable pace, but always communicate. And if one of you is having a problem, you have to stop. If you get to that point, you find it, like you can't just go, okay, I didn't come yet, let me finish. No, you have to pack up and leave wherever you are. If that answered your question, I think it did.
Yeah, for sure. I personally think reclaiming sex is really important too. Typically in the hot wifing stories that have gone wrong, it's typically with the extreme cucks, and what they did to me, that was the thing that ruined it for them, is they allowed there was no reclaiming sex. They were being denied. The woman was playing solo. And over time, the woman left them for the bull. I've had that story on before. I personally think it sounds like in all the stories that are successful, the big thing about the thing that's keeping the couples together and successful is that reclaiming sex. So I would assume that reclaiming afterwards is super important.
Yeah, yes. And the reclaiming could be anything from we take a shower together or snuggle together to we actually have sex again. It's anything that just involves us, and I leave it up to Casey. So depending on the night, if it was a more extreme, rough, like manhandling night, I always make sure to say, hey, you know, what do you need from me? Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes she'd be like, sometimes she's like, that was so fucking amazing, I just want to watch TV with you. Right.
Yeah.
It all depends. Regardless of the date, I ask her what she needs afterwards. Sometimes it's just like, I want to watch, you know, a TV show with you and snuggle, or I want to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. So as long as I give that to her, it's amazing. Sometimes you don't have sex that same night, might be the next day. The reclaiming could actually sometimes happen during our date, where the guy might be finished up with her and I jump in and I'm like, oh man, I'm just going to take this right now. And then that's kind of our reclaim. That counts for her. If I actually come during the date, that kind of counts for her.
Yeah. It's interesting that you guys call it dates.
Well, yeah, we call it
I like it. Yeah.
We usually meet any new guy. We meet out first in a bar, restaurant. And I don't think we've walked away from any, because our screening is pretty careful.
Yeah.
But we always meet out first, because if for some reason something's off, we can just leave.
Yeah.
And they always, you know, they provide the hotel, and they're more than happy to provide the hotel, and we usually have a good time. The one thing I don't like, which I don't think anyone likes, is to watch their wife have boring sex. So we're pretty clear on our profile that the more intimate sex is with me. And even though her and I do have like rougher sex, but when we go out on these dates, she wants to be manhandled, roughed up, like all the things that I like to see that she enjoys. That's what we want. So if a guy like says, yeah, I'm into it, and then all of a sudden they are like, either they have trouble getting hard, or they're trying to like make love to her, it kills our night. We actually will wrap it up. It's like, this is not what we came out for. So it doesn't, that's happened a couple times where guys try to be passionate and make love to her. And she looks over at me like, what the fuck is going on here?
That's for you and her to do together, not for these guys.
Oh, she totally checks out. She goes, this happened like twice. And she's like, she's not. And we had to like, our little cue is I start putting my clothes on.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, oh, I got to get up early tomorrow. And I'll be like, all right, you got 5 minutes left. And then she just starts putting her clothes on. So it's kind of just like we have to, you know, wrap it up. But other than that, I want them to come. I tell guys, let out your rough week on her, right? Let it out on her body. Let it out on her pussy. Are you stressed about something? Let it out on her mouth. This is what we want to see. And they're like, what? I'm like, I promise you're not going to upset me. As long as she's okay with it, you'll never upset me.
Do you guys have a lot of regulars?
We have a very good amount of guys that we could just reach out to that would come over.
Yeah.
Not everybody's always available. A very good amount. I always do like to see new guys too.
Uh-huh.
So it's a combination of, all right, we have some time. Let's have so-and-so come over. Or, hey, let's go on a new date because I want to see you with a new guy. And we are actually excited because she hit $9.99, so we are looking for the 1,000th guy. And it's going to be kind of a more of a special date. We want to kind of handpick somebody really nice that it'll be worth it and have them be okay being filmed and stuff. So she's at the 1,000th guy mark. So for us, that's really exciting. So
it's like something to tick off. Now, listen, you guys do have an OnlyFans, and I'm going to put everything, a link to everything in the description. I want people to know that Casey was doing all this kind of shit before she got an OnlyFans, okay? Because sometimes some people are like, oh, they're just OnlyFans. Like, they think that the OnlyFans came first, and then people are doing the sex second just to make money. But that's not true, especially for most fans people. I mean, most people that I have on my show that have OnlyFans, OnlyFans came second because it's like, why not? You know what I mean? You can make some money. But this is what you guys have been doing always. I have your backstory. I'm going to put your episode number in the description. You have a whole backstory. You were majorly in the lifestyle as a solo single guy way before you met Casey, like you said here. Then you met her and you guys got together. Now you're in together. But she was also doing it separately too. I'm sure by the time this airs, you will already have your 1,000th guy. So people will be able to go and hear that, see that video. But let's get Casey on and let's talk to Casey. I want to talk to her a little bit about deep throating, but mostly about hot wifing. Thanks, Jason, for talking about it with me. But let's get
sure,
Casey.
You're welcome. Hope it came out good.
It did. It did for sure.
She's there.
Hi.
Hi. Casey, first of all, if you were here, I'd high five you that you now know how to deep throat. I'm surprised that you didn't before. You're such a fucking professional. But I know that you're the type of person that if you like want to figure something out because your guy likes it, you're not going to stop until you do figure it out. Like, how long ago did you figure out deep throating? Recently?
About a week and a half ago.
Oh, oh my God. Congratulations. I'm always impressed by that. I wish I could deep throat. I don't know that I do it every time, but it would be nice to be able to say like, hey, I could do this. I'm always super impressed when I see somebody being able to do it. Because most people can't, I think.
I think I was one of those people that never thought it was possible for me. So I just told myself I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then we started getting a little more aggressive with the deep throat training recently, like really focusing on it and practicing with my husband. And then we were just on a date recently. One of our friends was here and it kind of just happened. And the three of us were stunned. We all stopped playing. We were like, oh my God, did everybody just see that? And we were like, let's do that again to make sure it wasn't a fluke. And I was able to do it. And then I think there's been maybe three or four of our dates since where the guys have been progressively like an inch bigger and it's worked on everybody. I don't want to say it's super easy, but it's definitely not difficult. It's weird. But we have learned that this is a really important part of it is you have to analyze the shape of the cock because some people are super straight. Some people curve up or down.
Yeah.
So depending on the cock, that you need a different position for it to work, at least for me.
Yeah, that's
so interesting. That seems to be the key. Yeah, each guy is going to require a little different position, whether you're kneeling, you're 69ing, you're laying with your head, like you're laying on your back with your head over the edge of the bed. So it's been really interesting. But the most fucked up part of this is that I haven't deep-throated Jason 100% yet. I'm like 95% there, but it's so, so close. But his cock is so super straight and thick, and it doesn't flex at all.
Oh.
So the other guys have had like slight curves and stuff, but it's my mission. He's definitely on my list. I have to get it done.
Well, it's only been a week and a half. And if anyone does that math, if anyone does the math like I did, the minute you told me, A, you learned how to deep throat a week and a half ago, and then I would say a couple minutes later you're like, oh, and we've had three or four dates since and I've done it every time, that I'm like, how many dates do you have every week? I mean, you guys really are a professional couple, hot wife stag couple, correct? Come on, like you already have been three or four dates in the past week. Now listen, when you got with Jason, did you already know that you were into hot wiping? Did you get into it because it was like he was into it? I know you're just like a highly sexed up chick that likes a lot of variety when it comes to guys, so you're perfect for a guy that digs hot wives.
I feel like I was training to be a hot wife before I met him, because when I was single, I fell into my comfort zone was having male play partners that shared me with other guys.
Oh, so interesting.
Essentially,
okay.
It was hot wifing like practice without the commitment though. So it was very different, like without belonging to your partner, even if you're not married, right? Because you don't have to technically be married to be a hot wife.
No, but you have to be emotionally involved.
Exactly. And that is night and day the difference between being shared by a friend and being shared by your partner or your husband or your boyfriend. Like that commitment and the fact that, like you said, according to society, like I shouldn't be shared because I am taken off the market. Mm-hmm. But that's the part, that's the mental part that gets you stimulated and the psychological part that is just so fucking hot because we're not supposed to be doing this, right? We're breaking these rules and it's just so fucking hot. And without that, it's still sexy, but it's such a different feel.
Yeah, interesting. So it's different and more intense, I think this is what you're saying, now that you actually also have that emotional attachment to the guy who's sharing you than when you were with the other guys, just a booty call guy that was sharing you. That was hot too, though, for you, obviously.
It was hot, but it was different. Even if I fucked my guy friend after he shared me, it's very different than fucking your own husband after you're shared. It's exponentially more powerful and intense for some reason.
Yeah, that's interesting. And now when you first met Jason, I have your guys' whole backstory. You guys got together. You were very much made for each other. At first, though, in the beginning, you were a little bit like, no, thank you.
I was mean.
Yeah. You were a little bit running for the hills, but you eventually committed to him. Now, were you guys like hot wifing right from the beginning? Did you have any kind of reservations because this was a guy now that you were actually in love with? And so were you worried that it would be different?
No, we tried it when we first met, but we were using people that I knew, which didn't turn out so well because it shifted our dynamic. So if Jason's my boyfriend now, but we've only been together for 2 months and the third person is someone I've known for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference in, not on purpose, but I just have more history with that person.
Yeah.
So it immediately shifts the dynamic where Jason almost felt like he was the extra guy sometimes.
Yeah,
so
I
once
get it.
We stepped away from that, we took a break and then we came back and said, we're only going to play with people that we meet together and we don't know them already. That's when it got really good and we started to find our groove.
But let me ask you this. Did you get to that point where you figured that out because those first hookups weren't so great?
Yeah. There was never a time where we said this isn't for us. We just said this isn't working the way we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
And we need to figure out a better way. And that's how we kind of approach everything is just, okay, this wasn't the best method. There has to be a different way. And I tell people all the time, this is trial and error, right? It's never just perfect all the time. You're going to have ups and downs, but you don't have a bad date and then break up or say we're not hot wifing. We just go, okay, why was that not a good date? What do we avoid next time? So you just learn from everything. And really, that's how you evolve together is you go through it together and you figure out, because Jason said something might sound really hot to you in your head and then you try it and you're like, wow, that was a disaster. Or you might say, I would never do that. But then you try it and you like it. So it really, you have to try things to know if you're going to like them or not. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be a strong enough couple where if you do have a terrible experience, you can pick up the pieces and move forward with it and it doesn't make you fall apart.
Yeah, totally. How did you feel about going and meeting that guy solo like you did recently? Jason told me that story.
It was interesting. I had no problem going, but I was still a little more reserved. I think Jason probably thought I was going to be super handsy and flirting all over the guy, and I wasn't. I felt a little weird not having Jason there, mm-hmm. but I kind of mixed feelings about it, and there was definitely sexual tension and chemistry between me and the guy, but we kept it very casual at the restaurant. But then once I got him home, then it was like game on and we ripped each other's clothes off. But because my husband was here, it felt right to me. So I'm one of those people where, like, even though it's not a monogamous relationship, it kind of feels like it is because we're always doing everything together. And I like that feeling. I never want to be doing stuff that he is not physically there for.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's left out. I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. And other hot wives would completely say the opposite thing. And that's fine. Everybody's going to handle these things differently, but this is what works for us. I like to have him watching me. He likes to see it live. I don't think he'd really be into, like, there's some couples where the wife goes out and she'll record the date and then he'll watch it later. Jason's not going to do that. It has to be, like, live in front of him right now, or he's probably not interested. So this is what works for the two of us together.
And everyone has a setup. It's set up very differently.
Exactly.
I have heard from hot wives who prefer to do it solo because they feel more free to be who they are without their guy watching. Everyone's different. And I don't think I think that's where conversation comes into play and communication. It's so important when trying things out.
I totally understand where they're coming from, but for me, that's not a factor. My point of being a hot wife, like, the goal for me on every date is to see my husband get hard and for him to want to fuck the life out of me after. So, like, me being on the date with the guy is great and all that, but it's less about that guy that I'm fucking and more about my husband still.
Right.
So that's how my brain operates. So if I go out without him, I just feel weird. Like, I would almost feel like I'm cheating, even though I'm not.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on the type of person you are and what your comfort level is. But I need him there to motivate me to be like this filthy slut, right? That's my goal. We have this energy that goes back and forth between us. And that's why if he sees boring sex and he checks out, then I check out.
Yeah.
So that's why we're constantly like upping what we do so that we both stay engaged, or we might as well just stay home. There's no need for us to meet other people if they're not going to bring something new and exciting for us.
Yeah, but listen, but it's not like when you say, because I feel like some people might take it the wrong way, when you say, like, my goal is to do this and make him happy, it's more because that's a part of your turn on. You're turned on, too. You're doing this for you. This is something you did way before him, right? It's just that, just like his part of the turn on is watching you being turned on and you being his porn star, you're also getting turned on by being his porn star. It's not just pleasing him for him.
No, 100%. Yeah. Like, perfect example. So sometimes Jason watches me with the other guy and doesn't join. And other times he joins and we have an actual threesome.
Yeah.
So I always prefer when he actually joins. Sometimes he just wants to watch, though. And then on those days, I get really verbal and like taunting, where I'm trying to be extra slutty to convince him that he needs to fuck me right now, because that's what I want.
Yeah.
So it's this fun game between us, and I 100% enjoy everything that I'm doing, but my goal is to get him to fuck me because he's my husband and I want to be rewarded for everything that I just did. So it's just like a cycle that just keeps going. And when you were talking about reclaiming sex before, if we don't have that at the end of the night for some reason, you know, once in a while something happens and it's just not possible, mm-hmm. or something goes, like, you feel this like something is missing, you just feel off, like your energy is off the next day, and until we are together physically again, it just feels really weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so until we have sex again or we have something substantial and intimate just between the two of us, like, you feel off balance. It's really, really weird, because that's how connected we are, that if we don't finish that date completely,
mm-hmm.
it just feels like something is wrong. And we're not like upset or angry or anything.
Of course not.
You just
no,
have
I
this weird
it.
Feeling like,
yeah.
wow, something just needs to be, you know, done about this. And then we start fresh.
Somebody said recently, I was talking to someone and I brought up the reclaiming sex. He said, we don't like to call it reclaiming. We like to call
it reconnecting.
Yes. No. Reconnecting.
No. Here's my take on that.
Okay.
No.
Oh, you don't like
that?
You just use the word connect. We don't feel connected. That's what you're missing.
No. Because I feel as his hot wife, like in a hot wife dynamic, I feel this way.
Okay.
If you're like couple swapping, maybe, but in a hot wife dynamic, my husband is lending me out.
Yeah.
And then he is taking me back. That is the point of being a hot wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that term is appropriate for hot wifing. Maybe not for other types of play out there, but I like
okay.
it. I think it's sexy.
Yeah. I see the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I want him to take me back now. So I think it's sexier. I think it's kinkier. Like, I prefer that word, but I understand where people are coming from. Other people say, oh, I don't like reclaiming because that means he owns me. And I don't take it that literally.
Yeah, but that's a hot scenario for you. That's what I get, right? So that's a part of the turn on. You do want it to be reclaiming because you do want to feel like you were just taken by somebody else and now your husband's taking you back. That's what's hot to you. That's the dirty part of the scenario.
Absolutely.
And what's great about like your situation that you wound up meeting a guy who is so like-minded is at the end of the day, you and him love each other. You guys make love together. You have a normal, intimate life. You have everything that every other married couple has. And this is just this kind of like hot sex that you have on the side and do that just adds to your life together.
Yeah. And it's funny because people say, like, oh, he has a sense of compersion because he's watching me get pleasured. But at the same time, like, I love the look on his face.
Same thing.
When guys are just in awe and thanking him and saying, wow, you're so lucky. Or this is like the best date I've ever been on, or the best blowjob I've ever got. Like, the look on Jason's face is priceless. He is the proudest person.
Right.
And yeah, like, that makes me happy that I can give him that feeling of pride, like, in his wife. So
of course.
It's equal between us. You know what I mean?
That's compersion
for you. It's
not a
one-sided arrangement, even though a lot of people from the outside might think it is.
Yeah, that's compersion for you. That's what you're getting out of it. It's no different than the girl that likes to give head because you're like, it turns you on because you're turning somebody else on. It's that power in it. It feels good. Like, who doesn't want to do that for their partner? That's hot. Whatever it is that you're doing, you happen to be fucking another guy. And when they're talking about how great you are, why wouldn't that make you feel good?
Yeah, so it's just exciting all around for everybody.
Yeah. What would you say to women who are afraid to go and fuck another guy? Because I can't tell you, there's a lot of guys out there that are into this, right? I know that.
Oh, my God, I know. And they go, my wife would never do it. I think a lot of times it's hard to understand. Like, you were talking with Jason before about the love part.
Yeah.
I think it could be, you know, I was in the lifestyle before I met Jason, so it's easy for us to understand the mental part of this. But if you've been like vanilla and monogamous your whole life, and now your husband goes, hey, I want you to fuck someone else, I could see how you could be insulted or offended or question how they feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. So you guys need to sit down and explain like why you want to do this and give them like a little more like understanding of it's coming from a good place. And, you know, ask your wife, have you ever had a fantasy about this or that? But you can't just say, hey, I want you to do this, and then end of story. It needs a bigger discussion, and you need to make your wife understand that it's okay and it's not a trap, right? You're not tricking her into doing something so that you can do something in return, or you're going to make her do this and then regret it. That's why you really want to take it slow and test the waters and stuff. And I think a lot of women out there would do it if they felt secure and comfortable enough. But I think a lot of women too, like I said, they might feel like it's a trap where they go, okay, I'll fuck this guy. And then the husband turns around and goes, oh my God, I can't believe you would fuck that guy. It was just like, I was testing you. You know, there's so much fear that goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to have a very mature and calm conversation about it to see if it's something that you're capable of. Because, you know, if the other part of this is if you guys agree you're going to try it, you have to know that one person might not like it in reality. And then what are you going to do? Are you just going to give up on it? You're not going to force each other. So what happens if you get a taste of it and you love it, but your partner hates it now? So there's so many different layers of serious things that could happen to your relationship if you try this.
Yeah.
So you just have to be aware of all of these things and decide, do we still want to do this? Or is it just a fantasy we want to talk about when we're having sex together? Right? Because reality is so, so different.
Yeah.
But a lot of times reality can be hotter than you think it's going to be. Right? But you have to have that trust with your partner where you're going to take this leap of faith together and then no matter what the outcome is, you're still going to be okay together.
Yeah, even if it is a negative outcome, it's not going to rock your world or change anyone's views. Like someone said recently to me, like, well, you know, listen, when you open up Pandora's box, or, you know, you can't close it again. So you got to, and there's, people are nervous about that because what if my guy thinks I'm a whore now because he saw me fuck someone else, or he got really jealous and he can never handle it again and he's upset. And it's like so many things can happen.
There's a fine line too, because your first time might be awkward just because it's the first time, right? So it might not mean that you shouldn't be doing this. You just need, there's a difference between needing to adapt to something and hating it, right? So say you go on your first hot wife date, and at the end of the night, your husband goes, oh my God, I hated the part when you kissed that guy. It doesn't mean you can't hot wife anymore, but maybe you have a rule where you don't kiss the other guy, right? So like, you work it out, and then maybe a year from now, your husband's like, I want you to kiss that guy. So, like, you know what? You just have to be able to work with each other and compromise, and you're going to take two steps forward, one step back. You're going to go left. It's going to be all over the place. But as long as you're talking to each other and at the end of the night, you guys are okay with each other, then I say continue the journey. If you're having, like, arguments and fights every night, then no, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, look at your guys' situation. You started this conversation off talking about how you guys did try hot wifing very early on, and the dynamic wasn't right. But instead of you guys saying, hey, let's not do this, you figured out why it wasn't right, and then you changed things up, and then you realize you fucking love it. And here you are doing it the way that it works for you guys so many years later.
Yeah, and we're always changing. We're always evolving. You never want to just do the same thing all the time, because then it gets boring again. So you always need to mix stuff up. Like last year, we were very into like adult theaters. Now all of a sudden, we're very into deep throating. And Jason has been like, he has been so insanely horny and hard, like 24/7 ever since he saw me deep throat the first person. He's like a whole new person right now.
Yeah, no, I remember.
It's super exciting for both of us.
Yeah, I remember talking to you once about, you know, where do you go from there? Because listen, when the more you do something, the more now you need something maybe a little bit more to get you off, because you've kind of been there, done that. And I think I once said to you, like, oh, maybe it'd be really hot to, I don't know, be monogamous, you know, something totally opposite, because you kind of like, what do you do? Like, where's the end? You guys are so, because you have done so much. So, but now you look, you deep throating has become the new thing.
Yeah, there's always something new to try out there. It never has to get boring. And that's why I hate when people say, oh, we've been married 5 years, 10 years, like we barely have sex. That mean, to me, I'm not judging other people because I'm not them. But to me, that means you're not trying, because there are so many things out there that you could do. And it starts with not just sex, though, but like your connection, your intimacy, your respect for each other. But if you're not both actively trying to keep your sex life going, then it's probably not going to work. Like me and Jason, every day we wake up saying like, sex is very important in our relationship, and neither of us ever want to let that go. So it makes us way more successful at having a healthy sex life.
Right. That's the reason why you are doing deep throating tutorials. That's a couple that is working on shit, you know?
Yeah, because to me, like deep throating was something really important to him. So I said, okay, like I'll keep trying, but I may never get there. And he said to me, as long as you try, that's all that matters to me, is that you're actually taking an interest in this. We didn't expect it was ever going to work. That's like the icing on the cake, but just acknowledging something that your partner likes and saying, I get that you're really into this, I'll try my best. Sometimes that's all it takes to make your partner really into you. You know what I mean? It's just that effort that you're showing.
Yeah.
Whether or not it actually ever works. So we would literally, he'd say, okay, let's do some training. And we would take 10 or 15 minutes and literally practice. It's not super sexy. We're not having sex. You're practicing like a physical thing on your body, and then we move on with the night. And little by little, it just starts to be like muscle memory and like a comfort and an understanding of what it feels like. I was so scared that I was gonna suffocate on a cock, right? That doesn't make any sense, but that's how you feel. And I was like, it's never gonna work. And in my head, I was just like working against myself. It's the same thing like squirting. If you tell yourself you can't squirt, then you can't squirt.
Yeah, that
you
mental,
can't think about it.
Yeah, the mental thing could totally block you. I feel like I've been close, and my mind fucks me up.
Yeah, so once the first what happened was one of our friends was here, and he has a really, he's a nice BBC cock, right? Mm-hmm. And just the tip went down, but not the whole shaft because he's very big.
Yeah.
And we were just like, oh my God, what was that feeling? And then once that happened, I was like, okay, I think it's possible. And then the next guy that came over was like average-ish shot, like average, maybe a little smaller than our BBC friend.
Yeah.
And that one went right down. And then I was like, okay, obviously this works. So there's no problem. So once my brain understood it could physically work, now it just works. And yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could have been doing it the whole time, I guess, but I was too nervous.
Yeah. You were like cock blocking, but because you pushed through, you figured it out. Quick question. And this will be the last question because I know the answer to this. Jason doesn't play with other women. And what I remember is that you're fine if he wanted to, but he never really, he's not interested, correct? I do find that most guys who are into the hot wifing thing don't care about them going out and fucking another girl. How is it between the two of you with that?
Yeah, it's still the same way. Because I always feel like you're letting me do all, so I can't tell you as an adult, you can't do anything, right? That doesn't mean that I'm encouraging him to go do stuff either. But if he really desperately said, I have to be with someone else, we would talk about it. Mm-hmm. But at this point, it doesn't even really come up ever because we have this dynamic going where I pretty much do whatever he needs or he wants. And it's one of those things where he's even said he could go fuck someone, but it wouldn't bring anything to our relationship because I'm not into it. So it wouldn't be something that like we shared together. I wouldn't really want details or anything. So it kind of takes away like the sexiness of it. So if it's something that doesn't make us super turned on together as a couple, no matter what it is, then it doesn't really add value to what we're doing. I'm 110% dedicated to keeping him happy. I'm not going to not have sex with him for 5 months and be like, you can't fuck anyone else either. So you have to find, that's how I feel it's a fair dynamic because I give him so much and everything that he could want or ask for. I never say no to anything. So I feel like I can justify saying I'm the only girl he's with because I provide everything he needs. If I was holding back from him, I could understand why he would look elsewhere.
Yeah.
But that's just us. For everybody else, that might not be how they operate, and that's fine.
So listen, Casey, you guys not only operate with each other and you do all this stuff, you do film a lot of your stuff. You have an OnlyFans. You have a podcast now called In Bed with Strangers. Why don't you give out all your information so people could check out all your stuff? I will put all the links and everything as well in the description.
The podcast is In Bed with Strangers, and it's me and Jason just talking about sex topics, lifestyle topics, the dates we go on, the experiences we have. It's very honest and raw, just like everything else we do. And then our OnlyFans is footage from our real dates. So we don't do collaborating. We don't do anything scripted or fake. It's 100% our real dates that we go on, and you can see the massive smile on my face in every video, and you can hear Jason telling me how amazing I am in every video as I'm sucking someone's cock.
Oh
so
my
it's
God.
Really like you're in the room with us.
Yeah,
it's 100% real life, which I think is what makes it different and fun to be a part of. I don't want to just, you know, meet people, film it, fuck them, and never talk to them. I'm like, that's boring to me. I like that it's our real life. So there's a lot of personality going on there. And that's at HotWifeLife869. And then my website is CaseyDonatello.com. And you could find everything about my books and everything else we have going on my website.
Okay, awesome. Send me all your links. Send me some hot pics. Like, you guys are out and about and out and proud, which is pretty awesome about
it. Yeah, our faces are everywhere now.
Yeah, yeah. Send me some pics for my Patreon. I now have a Discord attached to my Patreon, so I'd love it if you guys would go in there and share some stuff. You could do your own, you could put explicit stuff there. I will give you a free link in there because the link changes all the time, so I probably gave it to you in the past, but it doesn't work anymore. I'll give you a new one for when this episode goes up, so in case people, like, there's a question and answer channel in my Discord. There's also a place that you could post pics, and when you could advertise your OnlyFans there as well. I have over 2,000 people on there, so it's a good place to advertise as well. Yeah, cool. So send me some pics. Send me the links. I'll do the link to your podcast and everything else. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story. I'm so happy for you that you could deep throat. yeah, and Jason, I hear you there. Thanks so much for calling in and talking about hot wifing. This episode will definitely be up soon, so get me that stuff sooner than later.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous picks of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous.